If you know my show on Funky Revolutions, you know that I'm a big fan of Napoleon Delagin's work. We heard Peace or Bombs. Before that, I guess an interesting album, kind of, I don't even know how to qualify it, but it's called an album. We heard the title track, Make a Funk Noise Here from Mino, and started the set with Corey Henry and the Funk Apostles. On CKUT 90.3 FM, this is Funky Revolutions. We give way in our second hour to
Sound.
CKUTT 90.3 FM.
Another reliable communication channel.
Ici Martin Carly, vulgarisateur scientifique. La vaccination des 5 à 11 ans contre la COVID-19 est commencée. En tant que parent, vous vous demandez peut-être si le vaccin est sécuritaire et efficace. La réponse est oui. Le vaccin est approuvé par Santé Canada et a fait l'objet d'études de qualité portant sur des milliers de personnes, dont des jeunes. Des experts suivent aussi de très près toute manifestation indésirable qui pourrait survenir après la vaccination.
Pour plus d'informations, rendez-vous sur québec.ca/vaccinjeunes. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Are you
into the competition?
Billy.
Oh my God. I'll speak it in the different languages.
I don't know.
Hello.
How's it going?
Gemini.
Oh,
it's been
a
very long time.
Yeah. It's been a good 5 months.
And. Five.
Five.
No.
Oh.
I thought 5 months was.
No.
I don't know. I thought Pisces.
Yeah,
that's
cancer.
Oh my God.
Me too. I always love it.
Really?
It's the bones of the mother.
Yeah.
People think it's Okay, we're learning. We're learning.
Are you
okay? Let's do
again.
Which is a crab?
Yes.
So the crab is also a mama? Mama crab?
A mama crab.
Because cancer rules the breasts, and it's like nurturing and sort of like love-giving, but then it's also the like animal symbol is the crab. We have this one already.
Why am I rolling the same one?
Maybe we should see
yeah.
Oh, where are we?
Scorpio!
Yay! Oh, what's this one?
Leo.
Leo?
What is it?
Oh. Ça, pas
c'est yeah.
Ah.
Comment tu fais ça?
Ouais,
c'est ma sœur, on me pose toujours la question quand je sens un truc. Comment tu fais? Je
No. They say no. Can you roll them for
wait,
us?
She's your sister.
No, we're cousins.
Yeah, cousins.
But Aquarius.
Maybe Aquarius.
We're always kidding.
What's that one?
I don't know.
A boy? A man. Mars.
And
then the number two.
Oh, the neighbor just texted me. Their turtle is back.
They lost it?
Congratulations.
That's the best friend.
Wait, it just went around and roamed Tunis and came back?
No, it's my neighbor who lives in this building, and they have two turtles in there. They have a courtyard.
Oh.
And she told me that it was gone, and it's been gone for like a week. But, like, I don't...
I thought it was Alexander just disappearing, come back.
But what did
but where,
he randomly, like, go to the Vega Square and... I went to see the game.
I went to see the match.
Yeah. It took him a while to get there. It's the commute.
I'm sure there's a lot of tours.
They fuck a lot. They're always fucking.
Yeah, they're probably looking for the like,
can you explain
that? Okay. So, Aquarius, we know. Mars, so Aquarius is the style. It's the sign is the style. Personality, and then the planet is the energy. So the energy of Mars is action. It's like starting something, going for something, literally like It can be aggression, it can be assertion, and it can also be like when you wake up in the morning, you get out of bed, and there's something that pushes you out of bed, and that's the Mars that's like pushing you to action. So that's nice, because Aquarius, Mars and Aquarius is nice for us, because Aquarius is like brotherhood and like shared and networks and community, and then Mars in community is like, are you joking?
Funny.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
And what about the two?
The two is the second house. So it's resources, value, like what's the value, what's the word, things that you hold.
And this is like, what do you do with these? You roll them to set the vibe for the night? Or
I just roll them for fun. And when I like send it, then
cet événement est une émission de radio réalisée par deux collaborateurs, l'un à Montréal et l'autre en Tunisie. Des questions centrales. Qu'est-ce qui nous pousse à chanter? Où est-ce que je chante? Que ressent-on en chantant?
نبدأ بنفس رتحوا بدوناتنا حضروا أصواتنا نبروفيزيو مع بعضنا ونعلموا بعض الأغنيات بالطبيعة.
And then
we submitted the proposal to a
and well, as soon as I send Miran some sounds from like group gatherings like Tzadzika, and then someone with Tzadzika at Yasmin's house, Haida taught us La Mezzera Yatatana, and I was like, such a beautiful song, so everything was obsessed with it. And then I created this track where I took Haida teaching it to us, and then I like took out our voices, but I made spaces and I repeated it so that you could just listen to it and sing along. And like as a way of practicing, like a meditation where you put it in your ears, but it's a way to like help you sing. And from there, for so today, what happened is that then Miranda was like, oh, Aida's voices, and she used these like very voice words, like Aida's voices. It sounded like she was describing wine. Like I feel like if you know how to like talk about voices, you know how to, it's like, she's like, oh, her voice is warm and bright and fresh. And and so she developed these exercises to try to like have a quality of voice similar to Aida, and like to help a voice prepare for singing this specific song. And Miranda is she's Canadian, so she doesn't she's also sort of learning a lot about like how Arabic, like how Arabic is done, you know? And so the exercises that I have today are exercises that she sort of came up with, and she studies voice.
Elle intègre d'autres disciplines dans sa pratique de la performance, formes de danse contemporaine, musique vocale, art radiophonique et pratique d'écoute.
Yeah, I feel like... yeah, and so... For this broadcast, we are exploring the question, what is the role of singing at the end of the world?
الأول, شنو هو الرول نتاع الغناء في آخر الدنيا؟
Quel est le rôle du chant à la fin du monde?
والسؤال الثاني, شنو إحساسك كي تبدا تغني؟ باش نعمل شوية أصوات, ما تخافش, حد ما باش يركز معاك, حد ما باش يوصل. Just concentre-toi avec روحك, الصوت اللي باش تسمع والنفس نتاعك.
What does singing do for you?
Rrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr teaches me to be brave. Mom, it teaches me to be brave, to be soft, and to be seen. Yeah, it helps me be more honest. What does singing feel like? And the responses are images.
Holding something really close or throwing something as far away as you can.
Like a sea urchin cut in half. Slowly moving, forming, shaping. A very dense lump of clay.
It feels like, as if everything was, you know, in your body, but that at the same time you are leaving your body. So, by the voice you're escaping.
نحس صدري قاعد يتحل، نحس روحي قاعد نتحل وبدني الكل قاعد يتحل. خاطر ما جينيرال ما نحكيش بالقوي يعني. دونك فما فازة هذيك نتاع لاني ديما صوتي مش قوي برشا. كي نبداو جروب هكا كيما بزقزيقة وكلنا باش نغنيو مع بعضنا ونقنع روحي اللي راهو حتى حد ما هو باش يسمعني. معناها مانيش باش نبداو نعسوا على بعضنا ونسمعوا في بعضنا وشكون يعرف يغني وشكون ما يعرفش يغني وشكون صوته خايب. وقتها بالحق نجم نغني بالقوي ولا حتى نعمل اصوات، حتى احنا من الاول نبداو نعمل في اصوات. دونك نبدا نعمل في اصوات ونحس في بدني وصدري قاعدين يتحلوا، حاجات قاعده تخرج من فمي، اما مش كلي فما حاجه من بدني قاعده تخرج، لا، it's more like منعرفش، it's an extension of what's inside. It's an extension of what's inside. Donc, عبارة إني قاعد نكبر. Well, the more space I fill with my voice, the bigger I get. Donc, yeah, نعرفش نبدا نتصور عباره لهويه هكاك لهويه اللي قاعد يخرج من فمي قاعد يكبر ويكبر ويكبر ويبدا لونه اصفر ولا موف ويبدا قاعد يعبي في البلاصه اللي احنا فيها وقاعد يشطح هكاك وقاعد يتحرك مع بقيه الاصوات الاخرين وقاعد ناخذ في اكثر بلاصه وقاعد نخلي في روحي ناخذ بلاصه خاطر ما منش اون جينيرال كي نبدا نعص على روحي نبدا نعص باش ما ناخذش برشا بلاصه ما كذلك الأغنى بالنسبة لي
When I was young, it was like so I didn't used to see much around me. I didn't go out. My dad like is maybe workaholic. He works all the time, so he never takes vacation. So he doesn't take us to vacation. So we don't see. I didn't see mostly anything when I was young. Besides my neighbor. And then there is this. I think it's like the furthest point that I've seen in my neighborhood. And it's a pond, Tama. Then you don't see anything, you just see the sky. So when I was young, I thought that's unbelievable. Because it's like in pond and then you don't see anything. So it feels like you can jump, but actually, it's then when I grew up, I went there and it's
maybe that's the end of the day.
Yeah. So now I thought the end of the word,
like the edge.
Like the point where the where it ends.
And I was super overwhelmed, and I had my childhood best friend, we were in the same class. What we did is that, you know, we started playing at school, you know, in the la cour de récré, like we thought ourselves as adventurers, trying to save, you know, what is to be saved. So, first of all, animals. So we first started, you know, to imagine, like, we're, I don't know, in the jungle or whatever, starting, you know, to save these little animals and stuff. So I was super aware of it really, really soon. Yeah, and I think it never left me since then. Yeah. That's why today I only talk and write and work about it.
I'm supposed to see it, but I don't. I see it, but I don't feel it. I'm not like an urge to something.
Oh, you have seen it more in your life. You were small, you saw something, or you thought about something, or something. You saw it.
Didn't you feel like this November didn't feel like any November ever before, starting the heat? There were days when the sun, midway through November, which I don't remember happening in the, like, I don't know, in 2017, 2016, like, in November this hot. And, like, I remember, because I drive home every day, and the sun is so strong and everything's so hot, and I'm like, look, this shit is real, you know, this is happening, this is getting really shitty. That's like when I feel when it's really winter and it's really hot. And even in the summer, like in the summer, there comes like a week when it's, which I've never experienced.
And in the summer, I felt a little. But then that's the thing. I feel like I should, like for example, in the summer when we had 50 degrees, right? It was like really hot.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, man, that's
never.
And they even talked about it. But I feel like I should stop my day and talk only about this. But then I don't do it. I'm like, oh, it's 50 degrees. Wow. What the hell? And then we go to the next subject. That's what I feel. I feel like I'm not really aware. I feel like I should really stop my life and say, oh, it's 50 degrees, let's talk about
it.
But I don't do that.
And maybe like this is related to you thinking that life is a game, life is Tetris, how to okay, no control of everything, okay, I'm just looking to let everything slide.
It's maybe a way of protecting yourself also, because it's so overwhelming when you realize this, and there is actually nothing that you can do as an individual, like, nothing. So instead of, you know, being driven, you know, down into this realization of the fact that we're going towards
So then we're just playing with the three of them. So la and le and le. And how does it feel in your mouth? And how does one become the other? Like la, le.
La,
la, la, la,
la,
la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la,
Something connected to the end of the world, I immediately thought of a dream I had, I mean, years ago, but I still remember it very vividly. Like, I rarely remember my dreams. I often remember, like, images, but not, like, the whole storyline of the dream. But this was when I was quite young, after I heard for the first time about the plastic continent, you know? I didn't know it was a thing. And then I found out, and I was, of course, horrified. Yeah, and then I remember very clearly having this, like, dream of, like, swimming in the sea, like, very far underneath the surface, and that, you know, like, this type of dream where you're trying to reach the surface, or you're trying to get out of somewhere, but you can't, and you're stressed. And a kind of a drowning dream, you know? And then you have, like, this kind of, you know, layer or crust that you have to get through, like, to reach the surface, and you see, like, the light coming through from above the surface, and then you're, like, just swimming in this jelly-ish thick water, trying to reach the surface. And yeah, and of course it was a very bad nightmare. And like, this one, I carried this dream with me for, like, a long time afterwards, and it was, I mean, obviously, like, clearly connected to just, like, this. And yeah, and it's quite direct also, like, it's very clear imagery, but I remember mostly the feeling of suffocation, you know, that you're trying to reach somewhere where you can breathe, and then it's just, like, thick and, like, jellyish, and you're stuck. Yeah. Oh, the feeling of suffocation. And isn't that also kind of how, like, when you think about climate change and, like, the end of the world in terms of, like, environmental destruction and these things, I feel like this is often the emotion that I get. It's like claustrophobia, you know, that you're in a room that you can't get out of, like, it's something like a closed.
Alors, عنا الصورة هذية. Une vue apocalyptique de la fin du monde. Je vais vous lire la moitié de ce chapitre, la moitié de cette sourate surat qui concerne la fin du monde. Hadith Fatawa, surat al-Takwir. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا الشمس كورت وإذا النجوم انكدرت وإذا الجبال سويرت وإذا العشار عطلت وإذا الأحوش حشرت وإذا البحار سجرت وإذا النفوس زوجت وإذا الموؤودة سئلت بأي ذنب قتلت وإذا الصحف نشرت وإذا السماء كشطت وإذا الجحيم سعرت وإذا الجنة أزلفت علمت نفس ما أحضرت. La traduction. Lorsque le ciel se rompra et que les étoiles seront dispersées, lorsque les mers franchiront leurs limites, et que les sépulcres seront bouleversés, toute âme saura ce qu'elle a fait de bien et de mal.
A mikveh in seven thoughts. This ritual requires an ice cube and a glass. I'll give you a moment to gather everything before I begin. One, this is a ritual of preparation, of readying ourselves for the world to come. That can be as specific or as general as you like. Think of something that you want to let go of, to relinquish or to release. Two, hold the ice between your palms. You can hold the ice over the glass so it drips into it. You can squeeze it or hold it loosely. It might feel painful at times to hold something so cold, so feel free to move the ice from one hand to another, between your palms and your fingers, or you can put it down in the glass for a few moments if you need a break. But try to stick with it if you can. Sitting with the discomfort can be a part of this. We're going to wait for it to melt. We've learned something new about waiting this past year and a half, how time can pass quicker and slower than we realize. Hours go by in minutes, or one day feels like 1,000 years. Time can loop and spiral. It comes in waves. It repeats and returns as we are presented with countdowns and timelines, ends and beginnings. Three. Sam Sachs starts their poem Barry with the lines, I'm interested in death rituals. Maybe that's a weird thing to say. When I say interested, I mean I've compiled a list. I am interested in death rituals. And by interested, I mean I wonder about what makes something into an elegy. Is it the letting go or the holding? Clasping on to something. Is an elegy just naming the thing you're letting go of? Robert Haas says a word is elegy to what it signifies, and I think again about all that is unsayable in grief, in mourning, in looking towards a future that we can't imagine or an unimaginable present. In Judaism, as in many religions, death is bound up in rituals. There's the Shiva, 7 days of visiting the grieving family. The mourner's Kaddish, a beautiful recitation. There's also the cleansing of the body in water to prepare it for burial. At a cottage with my friend, she tells me about mikveh. She wants to mark a turning point of some kind, an ending and a beginning, or a transition. Is there a difference? So she goes for a swim in the lake. Mikveh just means a collection of water, but in synagogues, it's a pool of water that you can fully immerse yourself in. It's used in ritual for purification, preparation, or times of transition, I think. If there are any other Jews listening, forgive me if I'm misrepresenting the concept, but I was raised in a congregation that sang Leonard Cohen instead of the Torah. In Jewish law, any natural body of water is a mikveh. In a synagogue, it has to be connected to living water. Rainwater can be collected and added to the pool, but even snow, even ice, even the biblical hail counts as living, as melting, as moving. 4. In Hebrew, Olam Hazeh means this world, and Olam Haba means the world to come. Olam Haba can be understood as the future, but it can also be used to describe the afterlife. It seems to exist both inside and out of time. It is the time that is waited for, the messianic age, always in the future, always yet to come. But how do we conceive of these as separate concepts in a world where the end of time rushes up to meet us? What if instead we understood this world and the world to come as overlapping, layering, circling around each other? 5. Every time I look up Jewish apocalyptic thought, I'm led back to the philosopher Walter Benjamin. So I'm sitting on a patio reading his theses on the philosophy of history about messianic time, fascism, and historical materialism. I eavesdrop on a conversation between two people at the table next to mine, friends who are talking about what they fill their time with. I think they must be in their 80s or at least their late 70s, and the man tells the woman, "I've been listening to pop music," by which he means Leonard Cohen. He tells her he's been reading his poems too, and she says she never knew he had books of poetry, says she'd like to read them, says, "I need more time and I'm not going to get it." Benjamin says that we are always in a state of emergency, that recognizing that time is not linear, that the past and present are always bound up together, shows us that the future is also a part of now. We are always already at the end of times. Reading Benjamin, it's hard to remember sometimes that he's not writing about today, or he is, but only in so much as he's writing about a rethinking, a reframing of time. He says, one reason why fascism has a chance is that in the name of progress, its opponents treat it as a historical norm. Meaning that if we think of time and history as linear and understand the past to only affect the present as part of a conception of progress, then we believe we are always building towards something necessarily better. But if we understand that nothing about now is a historical norm, that the way things are now is not the way they always were or always will be, then we can conceive of a break in the timeline of history and an opportunity to both reframe our world and work towards something new. 6. In Hebrew, the word mikveh uses the same root letters as the word for hope. In the Torah, the word is used both to mean hope and a collection of water, or living water. And adding the Hebrew letter mem, which begins mikveh, to the beginning of a word indicates place. So, in the mikveh, a place of transition, in between time, a place of preparation that looks to the past and the future, we can find hope. 7. When the ice has melted, let go.
Donc tu as des tableaux décrivant la fin du monde. Et la fin du monde, ce ne sera pas la fin de la vie pour nous. C'est tout le cosmos qui sera black beauté. Pas uniquement humain. Les astres, tout ce qui existe sera bouleversé. En même temps, bien sûr.
Alors tout le monde est en train de vivre, etc., etc.
Parce que là, lorsque le ciel sera décroché et les étoiles obscurcies, il n'y aura plus d'étoiles. Lorsque les montagnes se mettront en marche, lorsque les chamelles, près de mètres bas, seront négligées, abandonnées, lorsque les bêtes sauvages seront rassemblées, lorsque les mers seront en ébullition, évidemment, la terre sera inhabitable si la mer est en ébullition, lorsque les âmes seront réparties par groupes, lorsque l'on demandera à la fille enterrée vivante pour quel crime elle a été tuée. Lorsque les pages des livres seront déployées, lorsque le ciel sera déplacé, tu te rends compte, le ciel qui sera déplacé, lorsque la fournaise sera attisée et le paradis rapproché, lorsque, la finale, la dernière étape, toute âme saura ce qu'elle devra présenter. Donc ça, c'est des tableaux différents. Un cataclysme ayant plusieurs aspects. Alimat nafsun ma ahdarat.
The way my mom and her sister talk about finding nickels everywhere and how they take that as like a sign that my grandfather is like around.
This moment when there's this thing when someone dies, you cover them with their body with a white sheet, and then they stay covered with the white sheet until it's time to take them to the funeral. Sometimes it's overnight. So the first image is this body with a white sheet, all the fans turned on to keep the room cool. And this cat, this fat cat, who was terrified by how many people there were in the house. And you could just see this cat like sneaking behind the headboard of the bed. And then like on the bed next to the body. And then like out the window by the bed. And then peeking its head out behind the headboard again. while these fans were sort of causing these strange phantasmic motions, movements on the sheet. That's one. And then the day of the funeral, they washed the body. And if this was a man who had died, so only men are allowed to be in the room with the washing of the body, which includes washing with water and prayer. Mm. By an imam. And then they wrapped the body in this beautiful calligraphy, red and yellow, green, colorful cloth. And they did this prayer, recitation of multiple prayers. There's like maybe 15 people, 15 guys in chairs praying. And it was like maybe an half an hour or an hour of this. And I was just watching from the door, noticing people progressively checking their phone. Including the lead, the imam leading the prayer.
Wow.
And then the third is then they take the body out. And they put the body on this, like, I guess like a stretcher. And they hoist the body, these men hoist the body on their shoulders.
This progressive rock band called Hawkwind being played as this coffin kind of lowered. And it sort of sounds like, like it's really intense. like really intense, like fiery guitars. Just after my dad had made this speech where he was actually holding a lot of anger towards the person who had passed, and he really like shared that with the group of people who were listening at this funeral service, and it was very clear that everyone was like, this is not the appropriate place to do this. but yeah, just like seeing that from him, when that's so not normally what he would do, was, yeah, I don't know. I didn't feel the way that everyone else felt about it.
Oh.
I have a third. A dream that I have was sweet. One aspect was it? One aspect of a dream I had a few days ago. My cousin, put himself in the trunk of a car and closed the door of the trunk on himself, and he lay there and we sort of needed him to drive the car. But he had simply shut the door, so he was not available to be relied upon in the same way. But somehow, we could still see him, and so we could still sense his opinion. It was unclear whether he was saying it or we were just hearing. Just this image of him climbing in and shutting the trunk of the car. It's very coffin-esque.
En fait, Yatathana is, you know, like, this is straight, and Yatathana when something is waving. So it's when someone is, becoming more, it's a metaphor for someone who's becoming more vulnerable or more, Yatathana, it's really nice. So it's like this haka smita, you know. And she's saying when he starts to yell, so it's like, so it's more about like vulnerability, lean.
Every voice has a different color to me, and they're all kind of floating there.
Like all of us at the same time.
Yeah.
For
cauliflower,
confusion, creation,
pickle, K for
kitten,
cam,
seat, wait, fan, roofsy, U, unbearable,
U is for underground,
oh, yeah,
umbrella,
T, trite,
tremendous,
torment,
tire,
C, K,
I can't think of a U one,
T, T,
F is for famous,
fun, fumble, M is for Montreal.
A Tribe Called Red is the hallucination with their new record, One More Saturday Night, featuring Javier Mighty, Tanya Tagak, and more, out now.
And to be honest, we probably never will. That's not really important. But there are probably people out there who are important to you, who are reluctant to get the COVID-19 vaccine for themselves and for their children. We all have our reasons. But if we take the time to listen to others, we can help reassure and support them. And that's really important.
The first step to understanding is listening. If you have questions about the vaccines, visit quebec.ca/vaccine talk. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
What time is it now, please?
3:58, Dad.
You gonna put the radio on CKUT?
Sure, Dad.